Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have CUNA's Bill Hample talking about credit union auto lending going off the charts nationwide and what we can expect in 2016. On the show today, we have CUNA's Bill Hample talking to us about auto lending just going off the hook. It is crazy out there what auto lending is was going on out there. Bill, I mean, this is fantastic news for credit unions and consumers alike with auto lending just going bonkers.
We thought it would never happen, but finally, about 2 years ago, it came back, and it's coming back with a vengeance.
No doubt.
It's almost like the good old days.
Yeah.
It's almost like, you know, in the old days when we had to wear ties and the thick, you have the wide ones and the narrow ones, and when they went out of style, just waited to come back.
Exactly.
So, you know, a long time ago, it was auto lending, then it became mortgage lending, now we're back to auto lending.
Yep.
So, you know, hang on to your expertise in any kind of lending because you need it.
No doubt. It's, and now, auto loans, I mean, I read on your site that, you know, auto loans are bringing in 35 to 40% of new credit union members. That's amazing. I mean, how is this possible? This is fantastic.
Yeah, that's slightly a separate story. We've had phenomenal membership growth for the last 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it started picking up a year or so before that.
Okay.
We've had, so far this year, we've had membership growth of almost 4%. Last year, we had membership growth of 3%. The year before that, 2.5%.
Wow.
This is when the population is growing at 0.7% per year.
It's a good trend.
So, even without being a mathematician, you can tell that means we're picking up share of the population, mm-hmm. a greater and greater share of people are using credit unions. Now, we would like this to be, you know, people joining credit unions for a variety of reasons to do a variety of
mm-hmm.
services.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it in the last few years, admittedly, is because of indirect programs. You know, and let's be totally honest about this.
Yeah.
Often when a person at the F&I, at the finance and insurance department and an auto dealer picks a credit union loan, they, without even knowing it, are joining the credit union in order to get that loan.
Oh,
but
wow.
They're not really joining the credit union knowingly to be a member of a credit union to use all the services. They're getting a car loan.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one of the things about the greater the proportion of new members that are coming from indirect lending programs, the less permanent is the strong membership growth. Because, you know, typically when those loans are paid off, the credit union will close out those accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They are, though, an opportunity for credit unions to market to those indirect borrowers to try to get them into the credit union. But we should be realistic about this. I've talked to credit unions about this. You know, this is not data that's collected by NCUA or anything, but mm-hmm. if you can get 10% of your indirect borrowing members mm-hmm. to become multiple service members, you're doing fantastic.
Yeah, no doubt.
10% would be great.
Yeah.
And, you know, that takes a lot of work. But, you know, members are hard. Member acquisition is difficult and expensive, and at least it is another opportunity for membership acquisition. You know, an idea I had a long time ago was after, you know, a month or two after the member has bought the car and gotten a loan at the credit union, the credit union can send a notice to the member and say, you thought you bought a car, but you also bought a credit union.
I like that.
But, you know, there are ways to do it. And also, but the other one is product-specific marketing. The fact that if the credit union can, from various data sources, see what sort of products and service the member, mm-hmm, this mm-hmm. new one service member has and doesn't have, they could, you know, be target marketing some additional services.
Well, yeah, and so, go ahead.
The auto lending is really good for credit unions. The indirect members that come in as a result of that are really the main part of the story. The main part of the story is that it's just really good for credit union balance sheets to be diversifying back into consumer loans in addition to mortgage loans, and in particularly into some secured consumer loans.
Yeah, I mean, that was my thought exactly when you were talking about that. It's like you have, I mean, for the duration of the loan, whether it's 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or, you know, God forbid, 6 years, but I mean, that's a whole nother story.
Yep.
But you have that duration as a great opportunity, like you said, to continue sending messages and, hey, you know what? You not only bought a car, but you bought a credit union. Here's what we can do for you. You know, I mean, what a great opportunity that is. And like you said, if if you can, if you can get 10% of those, would just, that's a phenomenal number. Yep. No wonder we're growing.
Yep.
And also, I mean, it sounds like, and since auto lending is just, you know, is doing extremely well, it sounds like right now it's a primary driver for this.
And it's likely to continue for at least 2 or 3 more years.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, because what happened during the recession is that, you know, a lot of people lost their jobs during the recession, but most of us didn't. But those of us who didn't lose our jobs during the recession got pretty scared we might be next.
Yeah.
And so we tended to postpone those major purchases that we could get away with postponing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you still have to eat and you still have to, you know, get your dry cleaning done and all that sort of stuff. But you can make your car run longer.
Yep.
And so there was an enormous amount of postponed new car purchasing. People put off buying new cars. And in fact, in 2008 and 9 and 10 and 11 and 12, during those 5 years, total car sales were about 20 million less than what they would have been had there not been a recession.
Yeah.
And annual car sales typically were running around 16 million or so. So we basically fell behind by over a year worth of car sales.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it's been coming back lately. You know, so far this year, car sales are running at close to 18 million at an annual rate, which is pretty nice.
Yeah.
And a lot of this is absorbing some of that pent-up demand
mm-hmm.
from the postponed purchases. You know, a couple of years ago, the average age of a car on the road here in the U.S. was 11 years. And that's not the age at which we junk them. That's the average age of an operating car. So if the average age of an operating car is 11 years, that means there are a lot of 15 and 20 and 25-year-old cars on the road. So there's a lot of tailwind to the new car market for at least 2 or 3 more years.
That's fantastic. Yeah. It sounds like they're, you know, it's kind of like open the floodgates, you know, like you said, the pent up demand. It's almost like the credit union CEOs, what we're finding right now, because many of them wanted to retire, but then the recession hit. All right, let's sit in the captain's chair, weather this storm. And then once it's over, then I'll, and now that's what we're seeing there as well. But that, again, that's another story, but it sounds like the same deal with auto lending.
It's same sort of thing. If something happens routinely and for some reason it stops happening, once whatever stopped happening goes away, there's a flood. Yeah.
Fantastic. So how can we keep up these? I mean, even lending in general is really doing well at credit unions. I mean, how can credit unions keep this pace? Because there are some unprecedented numbers that are occurring out there right now. I mean, how can credit unions keep up this pace?
Well, they you know, it's a tough market, though, because they're new entrants to the market. You know, commercial banks are interested in this market, and a bunch of new lenders who didn't used to exist are interested in this market. So it's not an easy market. To keep up the pace, a credit union has to keep up with the latest technological mm-hmm. developments in order to remain convenient to their members. And that's, you know, it's easy for us to say. It's a lot harder to do.
Right.
But just keep thinking of new ways to be making your loans convenient to your members.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was having a thought the other day is, you know, we have remote deposit capture these days where you can use your smartphone to take a picture of a check to deposit it. Why can't we have remote loan verification documentation so that if a member goes to a car dealer, maybe instead of them being totally at the mercy of the F&I person, the finance and insurance person, let credit union members know that if you go to a car dealer, get your smartphone, take a picture of the VIN on the car, and then take a picture of the purchase contract, send that to the credit union. And is there a way for the credit union to almost instantaneously reply to the member and say, you're approved or something?
I don't see why not.
Makes that a more, you know, the trouble is that this might tick off the dealers, but, you know. and credit unions have relationships, but, you know.
You're right.
I'm not saying that's a thing to do, but. But those are the sorts of things that people are thinking of to make it easier
mm-hmm.
for people in general when they're doing business to do their transactions more quickly and more smoothly and more easily. So, you know, those are the sort. But the good thing is that with the economy doing better, with the unemployment rate finally getting close to full employment, consumers should be pretty willing to take on new debt in the next few years. Yeah. So credit unions should make the most of it while they can.
No doubt.
Market to that. If you know, Have you been postponing buying a new car? If you're finally more satisfied with your condition, we're here to help. Yep. You know, just all those sorts of things.
Very cool. Very cool. So to wrap up, what are the, I mean, you said that the auto lending is going to be good for the next 2 to 3 years. I mean, so it sounds like more of the same and not a drop off. So that's good news.
Yeah, yes, it should hold up. You know, okay. What's going to be harder is mortgage lending is going to slow down because interest rates basically can't go any lower, and they're probably likely to drift up. So the mortgage refinancing booms we've seen over the last 15 to 20 years are going to be a thing of the past. Okay. So mortgage lending is it'll be there, but it's just not going to be the growth. It's going to be consumer lending, and it's not just auto lending, other forms of consumer lending. As the consumer feels a little better and goes out and spends more, there'll be opportunities in other forms of consumer lending too. So, but you know, the main thing for credit unions is it's likely to last for a few more years and make hay while the sun shines. You know, take advantage of it.
Yep. One last question for you. You mentioned interest rates might tick up a little bit. I mean, is that going to happen in 2016? Because we've been talking about it for what, a half a decade now?
Yeah. I don't know. You tell me. Well, what I can say without fear of contradiction is that short-term interest rates will not go down next year because they're at zero, so they can't go less than zero unless you're at Switzerland, and we're not. So, no, you know, as we're recording this, it's a week or so before the Fed meets, and I think it's incredibly likely that the Fed will start raising the Fed funds rate in December of this year, and that next, the one thing I will say that we do feel fairly confident about is that over the last time the Fed started raising short-term interest rates was back in 2004. Mm-hmm. Once they did it, bang, 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 every meeting they went up by 25 basis points, by 0.25%. We feel pretty confident that because they've waited so long, because they're still kind of leery about things, and because consumers aren't going gangbusters, they're probably due to every other meeting.
Okay.
And so there are 8 meetings a year. So next year, a year from now, it's really likely that the Fed funds rate will be at about 1.25%, not 2.25%, which is what would have been had they followed the precedent of back in 2004.
Gotcha.
So short-term rates should, you know, this is, you know, a way a strong consensus forecast. And so if most economists believe this, watch out.
Yeah. Okay.
But we sort of agree on this. What we don't agree on, because we don't know, is longer-term interest rates.
Okay.
They should be drifting up gradually, but not nearly as much as short-term rates do.
Okay. But they're still so incredibly low. I mean, it's still, you know, ripe for good business. So
yes, it is. Yeah, no, from a consumer's point of view, having to pay 3% on a car loan as opposed to 2% on a car loan shouldn't make any difference whatsoever.
Nope, you're exactly right. All right, Bill. Well, thank you so much for this information. Always appreciate it. And love the insight, and look forward to chatting with you again when interest rates maybe tick up or something else fantastic or crazy happens.
Just don't record the part where I did a forecast and bring it back to me next time.
That's right. Well, you said we will hold you to that. All right, Bill, thank you so much. Appreciate the time.
Bye.